So imagine a driver traveling down a flat, totally sunny highway at like 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
Right ahead, this massive semi-truck pulls across the lanes. I mean, it is completely impossible to miss. But the car doesn't brake.
Not at all.
It doesn't even swerve. It drives straight under the trailer, shearing off its own roof,
Yeah.
and then just keeps driving down the highway.
Wow.
Yeah. The driver was killed instantly, but the vehicle didn't even know it had crashed.
Because this driver wasn't human.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah.
We're opening up a really fascinating lecture transcript from the ethics workshop. Because, you know, when a machine makes a mistake that no waking human would ever make, it kind of forces us to ask, what does safety actually mean when we hand over the steering wheel?
It really does. And I think that specific incident forces a complete reevaluation of our whole relationship with technology.
Oh, absolutely.
We're currently living through this transition period, right, where artificial intelligence is moving out of the server rooms and into the heavy physical machinery that we interact with every single day.
Right, it's out in the real world now.
Exactly. So understanding the mechanics of how these advanced systems fail, like the actual underlying architecture of their mistakes, is really the only way we can navigate this new reality. Because the failures of an artificial mind just do not map onto the failures of a human mind.
Which is exactly the mission for our deep dive today. We're going to unpack the realities of AI safety for you, kind of moving beyond the marketing brochures and those, you know, dystopian sci-fi tropes.
Yeah, we need to look at the intersection where theoretical code meets the unforgiving physics of the real world.
Right. So let's go back to that notorious case study from the sources. We're talking about the infamous Tesla driverless car crash.
Right, yeah.
The details are pretty grim, obviously, but the mechanics of what happened in those final seconds are absolutely vital for understanding everything else we're going to talk about today.
For sure. And I think the environment where this occurred is, well, it's the first piece of the puzzle
It
here.
wasn't a messy situation.
Right, exactly. This didn't happen in some chaotic urban center with unpredictable pedestrians or, complex intersections. It happened on a divided highway under clear, bright skies.
Basically, perfect conditions.
Yeah, these are traditionally considered the absolute optimal operating conditions for autonomous systems because the variables are minimized.
So the driver had the car on autopilot, delegating the physical act of driving to the machine. And according to the investigation data detailed in the lecture, he was completely absorbed in his phone.
Right.
He was texting, essentially treating the driver's seat like he was in the passenger seat.
He had completely decoupled his attention from the road.
Right. And then the semi-truck with this large white trailer pulls across the road ahead. I mean, it's a careless move by the truck driver, sure, but it's a massive physical object blocking the entire path.
Yeah, any human driver looking through a windshield would have instinctively slammed their foot on the brake pedal.
Instantly. But the Tesla drove right through it.
Yeah.
The force of the impact sheared off the top of the car. And yet the source material highlights this incredibly eerie detail. The car just kept driving.
Yeah, it continued down the highway toward its programmed destination for a significant distance before it eventually pulled over.
That is so wild to me.
It is, and this is the detail that deeply unsettles human intuition, right? Because when a human experiences a catastrophic physical trauma, our immediate biological and psychological response is to halt.
Right, we go into shock, we stop to figure out what just happened.
Exactly, we assess the damage. The AI, however, is simply executing a loop of code.
It doesn't feel shock.
No, lacking any specific sensor input indicating that its structural integrity was compromised in a way that required an immediate stop, its central processor just kept executing the primary command.
Which was maintain speed and stay in the lane.
Precise.
Okay, let's unpack this because the glaring question here isn't just why it kept driving, but why it didn't stop before the impact. Like, how does a highly advanced suite of cameras and sensors miss a giant truck blocking a highway in broad daylight?
Right, well, to understand that, we have to look at the actual mechanics of computer vision.
Okay.
A camera on an autonomous vehicle doesn't see a truck the way you or I do.
Sure.
It processes pixels, light intensity and contrast.
God day.
Yeah. The AI's algorithms use something called bounding boxes to identify objects. They're looking for sharp lines of contrast to define an edge, like where the road ends and a tire begins, for instance.
Oh, so it's basically just looking for outlines.
Broadly speaking, yes. Now, in this specific crash, the truck's trailer was painted a bright, reflective white, and the sky behind it was brightly lit and overexposed in the camera's lens.
Oh, wow.
So the algorithm could not find a line of contrast between the white trailer and the bright sky. Without that line, the bounding box algorithm failed to categorize the mass as a solid object.
So it thought it was empty space.
Basically, it processed the broad white side of the trailer as an expanse of empty sky.
But wait, modern autonomous cars don't just rely on cameras, right? Don't they have radar bouncing radio waves off objects too?
They do, yes.
Because, I mean, a camera might be fooled by a white truck against a white sky, but radar doesn't care about color. Radar bounces off metal. Why didn't the radar trigger the brakes?
That is a really crucial observation, and it points to a much deeper layer of algorithmic programming. The radar almost certainly did detect the truck.
Wait, it did? Then why didn't it stop?
Because autonomous driving software has to constantly filter out false positives. Think about how many large stationary metal objects you drive under every single day on a highway.
Oh, like overhead road signs?
Overhead signs, bridges, overpasses.
Right, of course.
Exactly. If the car's radar slammed on the brakes every single time it detected a large metal object suspended above the road, the car would be completely undrivable.
You'd be getting rear-ended every 5 seconds.
It would constantly execute emergency stops for overhead signs, causing massive pileups. So the engineers program the AI to cross-reference sensor data. If the radar detects a stationary or slow-moving object at a certain height, but the camera insists the path is clear, the system is designed to prioritize the camera.
It ignores the radar blip.
Yes, to prevent what they call phantom braking.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's basically an optical illusion, but one that only works on computers.
That's a great way to put it.
The system didn't just malfunction randomly. It actually worked exactly as it was programmed to work under a highly specific, totally tragic edge case.
Exactly.
Because, you know, a human might get distracted. We text, we fall asleep, we look away. But no awake, conscious human being on a flat highway looks at the side of a semi-truck and genuinely deduces, ah, yes, a low-hanging cumulus cloud. I will simply drive through it.
Right, because the human brain processes lived context instantly and flawlessly. We understand the physical properties of the world around us.
We know what a truck is.
We know trucks exist. We know they travel on roads. And we know clouds stay up in the sky. The machine just completely lacks that contextual grounding. It is merely performing a mathematical calculation on a stream of sensor data.
What's wild to me is, if these failures are so profoundly alien and unpredictable, how do companies possibly justify putting this software on public roads?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, if a human makes a mistake, we understand the mechanism, distraction, fatigue, intoxication. We anticipate those flaws. But you're describing an entirely alien failure mode here. How do you regulate or even market a machine that might suddenly decide a truck is a cloud?
What's fascinating here is that question drives us right into the central ethical conflict discussed in the source lecture, the battle between aggregate data and individual human emotion.
The math versus the feelings.
Exactly. The corporate defense, which Tesla and other developers lean heavily upon, is rooted in pure mathematics. Their argument is that, statistically speaking, the autopilot system is already vastly safer than a human driver.
I assume they are looking at the overall miles driven.
Yes, they look at the total aggregate data. When you compare all the miles driven globally by human beings against the miles driven by autonomous systems, humans are incredibly dangerous.
We really are.
We have slow reaction times. We drive drunk. We have medical emergencies behind the wheel. We experience road rage.
The machine doesn't get mad that someone cut it off.
Right. It never gets tired. It never gets angry. And its reaction time to the things it does perceive correctly is instantaneous. And, you know, the lecturer in our source material actually concedes this specific point.
The machines are safer overall.
Yeah. The pure probability of an accident occurring over a given number of miles is genuinely statistically lower when the machine is in control.
Okay, let's unpack this, because statistics are fantastic on a spreadsheet in a corporate boardroom.
True.
But if you are the person actually sitting in the driver's seat, hurtling down the highway at 70 miles an hour, you do not care about the overall global map.
No, you don't.
If you know the car's black box might suddenly process a fatal optical illusion, the definition of safety fundamentally changes for you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't true safety have to include the visceral experience of feeling safe?
It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And the source material addresses this divide using a really brilliant analogy, commercial aviation.
Oh, flying.
Yeah, it perfectly illustrates the gap between the mathematics of risk and the psychology of fear.
Right, like the fear of flying.
Yeah.
Even though everyone knows it's the safest way to travel.
Exactly. By every measurable metric, traveling in a commercial airplane is vastly safer than driving a car over the same distance. The statistics are overwhelmingly in favor of aviation.
Not even close.
And yet flying generates intense fear and clinical anxiety in millions of people, while those exact same people will casually speed down a chaotic highway while eating a sandwich and changing the radio station.
Well, yeah, because when you are driving the car, you have your hands on the wheel. You possess agency.
Exactly.
Even if the environment is statistically more lethal, your brain registers the physical control as a form of protection.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, agency is the critical variable. Human evolution does not prepare us to strap our physical bodies into a metal tube miles above the earth and completely surrender our survival to a stranger behind a locked door.
Or to an automated flight computer.
Right. The lack of physical control creates a psychological vulnerability that completely overrides the rational statistical reality.
So we're essentially looking at two completely different definitions of safety running on parallel tracks.
Yes. The literature separates them into statistical safety and psychological safety.
Okay, break down the difference for us.
Statistical safety is the cold mathematical probability of an adverse event. Psychological safety is the internal human sensation of control, predictability, and trust in the system.
And what we are seeing with artificial intelligence is that those two definitions can be wildly misaligned.
Very much so.
We're building systems that might actually reduce the total number of fatalities, making us statistically safer. But because of the alien nature of how they operate, they strip away our psychological safety.
It feels wrong.
Exactly. The entire experience feels more dangerous.
Which presents an enormous engineering problem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you design a system that people actually want to use if the underlying logic of the machine remains a terrifying black box to the user?
Right. But if psychological safety relies on feeling in control, how can engineers even measure that? They can't just count the number of fatal crashes. That's a lagging indicator, and it's obviously too late for the people involved.
Way too late.
So how do they measure the day-to-day reliability of the software from the perspective of the human sitting in the car?
The industry actually relies on a completely different metric to evaluate the practical, everyday performance of these systems. It's a statistic known as miles per disengagement.
Miles per disengagement. Let's break down how that actually works for you listening.
So rather than only tracking catastrophic failures, this metric measures the distance an autonomous vehicle can travel before the human sitting in the driver's seat is forced to intervene.
Like having to take the wheel.
Exactly. It tracks how often the human has to grab the steering wheel or tap the brakes to override the AI and disengage the autopilot system.
So it's essentially measuring how far the car can go before it gets confused by, like, a weird intersection or drifts too close to a curb and the human just has to save the day?
That's the idea, yeah.
But wait, I'm thinking about the underlying software architecture here. Are these disengagements just recorded on a spreadsheet somewhere, or is this actually how the system learns?
Ah, you've hit on the fundamental mechanism of machine learning in this context.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every single time a human intervenes, that event is recorded as an edge case. The telemetry data, the camera feeds, the radar logs, the steering inputs, all of it is sent back to the manufacturer's servers.
Okay.
The neural network is then trained on that specific failure. The human's intervention is used to correct the algorithm, theoretically ensuring the AI won't make that exact same mistake the next time it encounters a similar scenario.
Wow. Okay, this highlights a massive contradiction in the entire marketing pitch of autonomous driving. Well, the promise of the driverless car is luxury. Right.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a digital chauffeur. You are supposed to be freed up to read a book, watch a movie, or take a nap.
Right. That's the dream.
But if the system requires a human to constantly monitor the road to prevent alien mistakes, and those human interventions are actively training the network, then the human isn't a passenger. They are an unpaid quality assurance tester.
It defeats the presumed purpose of the technology entirely. As long as the AI requires human oversight to navigate the edge cases its programming cannot handle, the human must maintain constant, unbroken vigilance.
You can't just zone out.
Not at all. You are required to watch the road just as carefully as if you were driving, perhaps even more carefully, because you have to be prepared to physically take over a 2-ton vehicle in a fraction of a second.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like having a teenager with a learner's permit driving you around.
That is a very apt comparison.
But honestly, It's actually worse, isn't it? Because with a teenager, you can look at their eyes. You can see if they are distracted. You intuitively know how they think and what mistakes they are likely to make.
You share the same type of brain.
Right. With an AI, it is a total black box. You have absolutely no idea if it's looking at a stop sign, a pedestrian, or an overexposed cumulus cloud until the very second it makes a move.
It's entirely opaque.
You are just sitting there rigid, hovering your foot over an imaginary brake pedal. Does this completely change what the experience of safety is for the user?
This raises an important question, and the sources suggest that interacting with modern artificial intelligence places two very distinct psychological burdens on the human mind.
Okay, what are they?
The first is what we can label psychological fear. This is the dread of the catastrophic unknown. It's the lingering awareness of that Tesla crash.
Right.
It is the deep-seated knowledge that at any given moment, the machine might process an optical illusion that results in a lethal, unavoidable error.
The acute fear of the alien mistake.
Exactly. But the second burden is chronic, and it defines the everyday user experience. We can call it psychological attentiveness.
Psychological attentiveness.
Because you know the system is imperfect, and because you know about the miles per disengagement, you are forced into a permanent state of low-level stress.
Just constantly on edge.
You have to pay intense attention precisely because you cannot trust the machine's perception of reality.
Man, so you are utterly exhausted, not from the physical act of driving, but from the mental strain of watching a machine drive.
Yeah. Both of these burdens, the acute fear of the catastrophic unknown and the chronic exhaustion of constant vigilance, they define the reality of existing alongside artificial intelligence today.
It's not the sci-fi dream we were sold.
No. We are not living in a utopian vision of effortless relaxation. We are existing in a state of hyper-awareness, constantly managing the gap between statistical safety and psychological vulnerability.
When you pull all these threads together, the overarching takeaway here is really profound. The transition to autonomous systems requires a massive societal trade-off.
It does.
We are actively swapping out the high-frequency, entirely predictable errors of human nature. You know, texting, the fatigue for a low-frequency, completely unpredictable set of catastrophic machine errors.
Yes.
And human psychology is simply not evolved to accept that trade. True safety in the age of artificial intelligence is no longer just an engineering problem about building better sensors.
Not anymore.
It is a psychological challenge of convincing the human mind to trust an alien logic with its physical survival.
The paradigm has entirely shifted from mitigating human flaws to managing our psychological response to machine flaws.
Exactly. So for you listening to this deep dive, the next time you are scrolling through the news and you see a headline about a massive breakthrough in AI, whether it's a new self-driving taxi service or an AI diagnosing medical scans or, you know, an algorithm managing financial portfolios.
Any of it.
Don't just look at the aggregate data. Don't just ask, what are the overall error rates? You need to look deeper and ask yourself, what kind of alien errors does it make? And what will it actually feel like for a human being to have to monitor that black box every single day?
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, a philosophical dilemma that stretches everything we've unpacked today into the near future.
Let's hear it.
Let us imagine a timeline where the engineers actually perfect the training loops. Imagine an AI system that becomes statistically 100 times safer than the absolute best human driver on Earth.
Okay.
The accident rates plummet to near zero. The mathematics are undeniably, overwhelmingly in the machine's favor. But because of the fundamental architecture of neural networks, the extremely rare mistakes that it does make remain completely irrational, alien, and impossible for any human to foresee.
Right.
If that becomes our reality, massive statistical superiority, but lingering, unpredictable alien errors, will we, as a society, ever find it morally acceptable to simply recline the seat, close our eyes, and fall asleep while the machine drives us straight toward the horizon? Or will our evolutionary need for control demand that we stay awake forever, watching the road, constantly wondering if the machine sees a truck or just another cloud?